Yeah, I'm glad to be here. Yeah, Steve, my name, Wendy is here. Right, because of time, Wendy is a better preacher than me and a good singer and a dancer. You know, should have done all. Right, my subject is straightforward. Your kingdom come. Luke chapter 11, 1 to 4, but you know, primarily the verse number 2. So Jesus went up the hill and the disciples came to him and they asked him a question. Teach us how to pray. And Jesus started. Let's put that on the board if we can, please. It will help us have a focus. So he said to them, when you pray, when, not if, right? When you pray, that means we got to pray, okay? Say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, and I'll stop there because other people will do the other one. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. This kingdom has been predicted throughout the Old Testament, especially in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. All right? The kingdom was predicted, and we were given some hints about that kingdom. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. Let's get this scripture straight, and so it will help me do my exposition better. Okay? So Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. I can read it from here. Okay, but for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Okay? Let's go to the next. No, six first. Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Seven, please. Yes. Of the increase of his government and peace. Increase of his government and peace. There will be no end. There will be no end. His government is a government of peace and there will be no end. That's everlasting. That's eternal. Right? Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom. To order it, to establish it with judgment and justice from this time forward, even forevermore. From this time forward, even forevermore, that means that government is already in place, right? And it will continue to be in place, so forevermore, right? So that kingdom we're talking about in a miniature form is here. And that's why Jesus said the kingdom is among you. The kingdom is with you now. But then the fullness of that kingdom will be when he returns. Hallelujah. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. What is the nature of that kingdom? What is the nature of that kingdom? The first century Christians might have misunderstood that kingdom. The nature of the kingdom. Why? Because they were in bondage. The yoke and the burden of the Roman Empire was upon them. And for some of us, that is what happens. When Jesus went somewhere and spoke and people rejected him and wouldn't have anything to do with him, some of the disciples came and said, we command fire to burn them. Right? Do you command fire? Just as Elijah did. And Jesus said, you don't know of what spirit you are made of. You don't know. If my kingdom is of this earth, then hosts of angels will be sent to intervene. Right? So you know, that is what happened. So the first century Christians or Jews got it all wrong. They wanted an earthly kingdom that would move them away from the hands of the Roman Empire. Someone who has got a physical mind to fight their battles for them. And so they were looking at a physical, army general, right? Or Field Marshal. Somebody who is coming as a king in Saul's armor with all the ammunition of Saul to fight. And that is why when they wanted a king, they went for a giant like Saul, and he failed miserably. And David came in, and David didn't need Saul's armor. David didn't need Saul's spear. David needed the name of the Lord. Amen. For Bible said the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous will run unto it and they are saved. Arm of flesh will fail us. That kingdom is not physical. It's not physical. Your battle is not physical. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness. And so we don't go with some ammunition here. And sometimes we think our enemy is my brother here. Our enemy is our sister here. Behind the attitude of this sister, right, it's not her. There's something behind it. And so when we are fighting, we fight according to the biblical standard. And the battle anyway is not of us, it's of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Thy kingdom come. And that is the misunderstanding. That's why they rejected him. To them is the city of Jerusalem and the magnificence of the temple. That was what they were looking for. The city of Jerusalem and the temple. But folks, if the kingdom was the city of Jerusalem and the temple, where is the temple this day? It's not there. The temple is where the Dome of the Rock is now. The temple went down. So they were looking for that. And it's not there. But in John chapter 4, when Jesus Christ met a woman at the well, Jesus said, those who will worship me will worship me in and in truth. And he said, the Father seeketh such. The Father seeketh such to worship me. And so it's not the physical things we see. It's not how magnificent our burdens are. The kingdom is not in this edifice and all that. The kingdom is in the hearts of men. And the nature of it is supernatural, it is spiritual. And they miss it. For Acts chapter 7, verse 48, it said, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in the temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. He doesn't dwell in the temples made with hands. We can have the magnificence of every temple, and when we meet there, and it depends on who meet there and whose name we are gathered there. If the gathering is not unto the Lord, God is not there. The burden means nothing. But even if we don't have a burden, and we're meeting outside there in the name of the Lord, there he is with us. Hallelujah. In John chapter 3, when Jesus met Nicodemus and that dialogue that was between Jesus and Nicodemus, he rent forth the fact that the kingdom was spiritual kingdom. Matthew 21:43, the same thing, spiritual kingdom. John 18:36, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. Daniel 2:44, it said, a kingdom that shall stand forever. That is the kingdom Jesus is talking about. It shall stand forever. So the first century Christian didn't get it. The first century Jews didn't get it. What about the disciples? The disciples understood the kingdom to be heavenly in nature. It will be incorruptible. 1 Corinthians 15:46 to 50. Central to understanding and experience is the presence of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The presence of the Holy Ghost. Kingdom not perishable, not corruptible, not temporal, not of this world. Because if you look at Colossians chapter 3, 1 and 2, Bible says Christ already sits on his throne. He sits in the position of power and authority. Romans 14 verse 17 said, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. In the Holy Ghost. Not meat and drink. And so I submit to you, church, this morning, that the kingdom is not in a physical sense, but it is righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. And if that is the case, then how holy is the church? How righteous is the church? If it's spiritual, then we need to be like him. If it's spiritual, then Jesus demonstrated it. If it's spiritual, then Jesus came with something that is out of this world. Contrary to the teachings of the scribes and all the other Pharisees. When Jesus said, when somebody slaps you, then turn the other one, that is hard. Because Moses taught different things. He said, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And so if you're going to abide by the norms of the Old Testament, the Mosaic law, compared to the teachings of Jesus Christ, how can anyone live? How do I turn my other cheek for somebody to strike me twice? Here is it that the law says that if you commit adultery, you should be stoned. And so, in the natural, they brought that woman and said, she was caught in the act. Listen to it. And this is plain English. If somebody was caught in the act of adultery, that means the man was also there. Well, it's not the case. If he was caught in the act, that means the man has not run away. Right? The man was there because, just the woman cannot have the act of adultery. So where was the man? But they brought the woman. And he said, Moses said, stone. And Jesus looked at the woman and said, woman, where are your accusers? I said, those who have not committed anything, first throw the stone. And stare them on the face because their hearts are not pure. They're following laws and regulations and rules, but they're not following the Lord. Grace and mercy was not part of their day-to-day activity. And I submit to you, church, that the kingdom we are talking about is a kingdom full of mercy, full of grace. It's not a natural thing that we're fighting against each other and we don't realize what Jesus has come to do. Forgiveness is not part of the church these days. But our kingdom, the suffering, conquering Messiah, who went on the cross for us and said it is finished, release us free. If I owe anything to you, then I owe love. Without love, what else do I should owe you? Love is the central point that Jesus came to demonstrate, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. The people that were there, that nobody will eat with them, their tax collectors and their sinners, and nobody will have anything to deal with them. Don't we from time to time in society marginalize some people and look at them as if they're not part of this earth? Sometimes we wonder who created them. Who created them? Who created you and who created me? Right? Well, why did God put this skin on me? But it's only a skin. But when I met this man for the first time, skin or no skin, it didn't mean anything. We are Christians. And there was some bond and connection there. From then we become friends. That's the one I'm talking about. That's the kingdom I'm talking about. The kingdom that had everybody coming in when Jesus met with everybody. He can eat with anybody. That's what I'm talking about. Love and fellowship. Brethren dwell together. Dwelling together. Behold, how lovely, how beautiful it is for brethren to come together. And from here, I know you're going to break bread. And fellowship is key. Fellowship is key. The nature of that kingdom is more than that. And if I talk about righteousness, I'm talking about right standing with God and with man. Sometimes people think, oh, I've got it right with God. And you're sitting down there and you're not getting it right with your brother or your sister. And Jesus asks, did you visit me when I was in the hospital? He said, I didn't know you were there. But your brother was there. Your sister was there. Oh, they didn't say it was Jesus at the hospital. Jesus doesn't need hospital. He came as a physician to heal people. He wasn't sick to be there. And so if you're expecting Jesus Christ to be at the hospital to go and visit, he wouldn't be there. But it's this human flesh that needs hospital. And folks, if we're talking about the kingdom, let the kingdom come. Then on earth here, let there be peace, because this kingdom is of peace. On earth here, let there be joy. Let there be joy. Exceeding joy. When the worship was going on, I felt tempted to turn around and see the faces of people, but I couldn't, because I need to follow protocol here. I want to see faces of people during worship. Is there any joy in us? Is there any joy in us? Listen, we serve a great God. We serve a great God. And sometimes we allow the cares of this world to take away our joy. And we are like the whole world is upon our head. Please, God is great. God is great. And if you're serving God, let's serve him with some joy. If somebody came to us, running to us, and said, please help me, please help me, and we ourselves here can't help ourselves, how can we help somebody from outside who needs our help? Right? When I came there, you know, entered here, and four people standing out there, I said, this church has got something going for them. Amen. The pastor was there. Three young people were there, and a mixture of ladies and men. And so, you know, the lady greeted me, the men followed, and then the men greeted her before the lady came. I said, wow, what a protocol. What a protocol. It made my day. It made my day, right? So the way I was welcome, I was able to ask for tea. Now, if nobody was out there, I would have walked in to come and sit down here, but my need has not been met. What is my need? Cup of tea. I couldn't have, because they're not friendly. But if they're friendly, we're able to flow. If you go anywhere and you're welcome, you're able to flow. That's what I'm talking about. Let's make the kingdom practical, because Jesus didn't make life complicated for us at all. Right? The Pharisees did. They put heavy load on people and Jesus lifted it. The presence of the Holy Spirit made the difference. And that kingdom is right here. The significance of that kingdom is that we will worship God in truth and in spirit. Rituals doesn't do anything. Practices and beliefs that just put us far away from God. That's human principle. But the kingdom, it's something that day by day we see in Christ's life. And Christians need to mature and follow that level of the Holy Spirit enablement and endowment and empowerment and move away from our sinful nature and towards God. Let me take this song. Bible said the passionate commitment of the Lord Almighty will guarantee it. It will bring to pass. Hallelujah. It will bring to pass. And though the kingdom, we could see it in us. And if it's in us, then it got to come out. We are salt and light. And are we seeing anything within our lives to be salt and light? As I travel around the world and I've traveled extensively, both in ministry and in other this thing, because I was a marine engineer for years. For those of you who understand what I'm saying, is the merchant navy I'm talking about. I'm not talking about military navy. Right, so I was in a Greek ship for years, super tanker, as an engineer for years. So I sailed around the world, and within that, you see the wonders of God. Those who go to sea, you see the wonders of God. The sea is vast, and it's got a lot to teach us. The wonders of the Lord. And I go to many countries. And one time we were in Thailand. And in Thailand, sorry to say that, but the speedboat will bring prostitute, in the speedboat to meet the ship right in the middle of the sea before we dock. So I'm working in the engine room. And one of the rules in marine life is that, the doors of this, our doors are made with metal. And if you are at sea, you are not to lock your door, because if something happens to you, nobody can save you. And so our doors are open while we are working. And I came from the engine room, really dirty, want to shower. I went to my room, my cabin, and four women were lying on my bed and everywhere. So I ran back to the engine room and I brought, along this, like a cane and this in the engine room. And I started whipping them like that. And each one of the Greek room were filled with women and they locked the door. But in my case, and this woman ran out of my room, went to my captain, who is called Demetrius, and the captain said, "Who told you go to that room? This young man has been sailing in this ship with us. We have never seen any woman come to that cabin. And sailors are west. They bring women on board all the time. They go to, when we get to port, they go to this coast here and there. You know what I was making? When we go to port, as all my mates, are busy going to the port, I take over time and make more money. So they go out there to enjoy themselves. I take over time, and then I make money, right? Listen, if you are a Christian, be a true Christian. You got to be known. That's what I'm talking about, the kingdom that is within us. If it's within us, let's demonstrate it. Don't hide. Let people know that you are a Christian. Right? Oh, I'll be persecuted. In this ship, I could have been persecuted, but I wasn't. I was loved. You'll be surprised that if you stand up for good virtue and values, how people respect you. Because many people think it's impossible to live like that. And why are you living like that? Right? In the ship, I didn't have any pastor there, anybody monitoring me. You could have hidden yourself and do anything. But if you go to Greece now, and I give you my company's name, Katerina T in Greece, Pyros, go and look there. My record is there. It's not, I'm not boasting. I'm just giving this testimony to the glory of God. That I served in a ship for years, and everybody in the ship knew who Steve is. Don't hide your Christianity. That kingdom is challenging us right here, facing us. Will you live it? The title Messiah, and I'll soon finish, it means the anointed one, right? We are not great president, but we are not kings. We are not great president, but we are not kings. It means the anointed one. The word kingdom in the original Greek means rule or reign. It's a unique kingdom. It's not human kingdom. Earthly kingdoms rise and fall, but the reign of God will stay forever. Amen. Hallelujah. It will last forever. And it will prevail. That kingdom will prevail. Nothing. Jesus cannot be dethroned by anybody. There couldn't be any coup. Nobody can stay a coup and take Jesus out of where he is. It's forever. And he's got power to maintain. And that's why I'm saying to you that when Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, church, don't get used to all these things that are going on that, very soon, other religions will overtake the church. The church has come to stay. Don't forget about that. Jesus said he will build it. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Right? At a certain point when Jesus preached and everybody was going away, he turned to the disciples and asked them, will you also go away? Churches can be empty, but churches can be full. Will you also go away? And I ask you, would you also go away? If other people have walked out, will you walk out? You have nowhere. And they said to Jesus Christ, you have something that we need. Stay with the Lord. Stay with the Lord. Don't let anyone push you away from the Lord. Hallelujah. But more so, Pilate asked Jesus Christ, what king? And Jesus said, well, you have said it. Are you the king? You have said it. Jesus didn't fit into Pilate's perception of a king. He didn't conform to the popular notion of political ruler. Jesus responded saying, my kingdom is not of this world. He told his followers, the kingdom of God is within you. Hallelujah. In a spiritual sense, we are living now in the kingdom. But what about John the Baptist? He didn't preach anything else. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. It's at hand. Repent. Right? Do you need 3 points from me? Maybe no. But if you need it, then be straightforward. The nature of that kingdom is not a physical thing. It is a spiritual thing. Also, their kingdom come is a prayer. And if it's a prayer, what do we do? When we pray, we expect. So there needs to be an expectation of the kingdom here and now. What is the point of Jesus praying? If we're waiting for us to go to heaven, then what do we need the kingdom for? If we're waiting for us, so the kingdom as we pray, we need to see it now. That's why darkness needs to be comprehended by light. And the light is in you and me. Right? Sometimes we sing a song and sometimes our theology is amazing. Shine, Jesus, shine. Jesus is already shining. Jesus is already shining. What other light should Jesus shine for you to know Jesus is brighter? Express image of his Father. That's what Jesus is. So shine, Jesus, shine, you know. But then I ask you, are you shining like Christ is shining? Are you imitating him? Is the word seeing something in you that they saw in Antioch when they said, these people are following Christ? Is there anything in you like that? Is there anything in you like that? And if it's a prayer, then we need to make sure that in anticipation, in expectation, we pray the more. If prayer works, then let's keep praying it. When we see any darkness, when we see evil around us, let's pray in the kingdom. When we see disunity and anything, let's pray in the kingdom because it's the kingdom of peace. At any point in my life, when I see that things are not going well, my prayer is, thy kingdom come. Into this situation, thy kingdom come. And then somebody will come in and add, your will be done. When churches are fighting here and there, where to put her? Here you don't have flowers and all that. I went to a church and preached, and then there's a title they call, let me get it quickly. Minister for arranging flowers. What is this? Minister for arranging flowers, right? This lady has been arranging flowers in the church that they got to promote her to a minister, right? And she's very good in that. And there's nothing wrong with that. I applauded that woman for, you know, doing that job every time, new flowers every Sunday, that's okay. And one day, the pastor came in and said, sister, can we today move it a little here? No! It doesn't look right. What is flower and right? We've come to worship, flower or no flower, let's worship the Lord. Whether it's on the ceiling, on this, then do I mind? You want it to look right, and I love it. If things are set right, that's how we want our house to be. So that's fine, but we fight over it. We don't have to. There's no need for that. There's no need. It's a personality crash. And in situations like that, I will pray, thy kingdom come. Let your kingdom come into that situation. That's how I will pray. That's how I pray because, we, you know, the Bible says your customs and your tradition has rendered the power of God to no effect. For what? For what? I don't know about this church. I don't know, you know, but somebody might even take offense in this. What is this? Why are you writing this on the wall? Somebody might come here and this will offend them. The kingdom come. Kingdom come. Kingdom come. Why are we doing church as if we're, you know? No. No, no, no. Let church be powerful. Let church be full of joy. That church be full of encouragement and the Holy Spirit power moving in our midst here. When the kingdom comes, it flows like that, and we move together, and heaven comes down. God, revive us again. Bring your kingdom and revive us again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The world have seen too much. Conflict everywhere in our world. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. It was specific and very important. That's a kingdom-minded thing. In that kingdom-minded thing, I met your pastor for the first time and said, you are preaching third. I said, this is kingdom-minded. And I'm bringing him to London very soon. Right? This kingdom-minded. We met and there's something there. And no barriers. Human barriers are too many in our world today. And you wonder why we're not getting anywhere. Why are we not getting anywhere? Too much. We place too much barrier there. Right? I keep saying one thing to my wife. I said, I didn't marry you because I can't cook. I'm a good chef. So I didn't marry her for food. I didn't marry her because I cannot wash my clothes. At least I could buy a washing machine. I married her for love. So don't take the domestic thing. I'm not going to say, why haven't you done this and this and this and nagging here and there. When men start nagging, it's worse. Right? I don't need anything. I didn't marry you for your money. I'm a hardworking man. Right? So let's marry for love. And let there be peace in the house. So that when I'm tired from work, I come home and I've got a woman at home welcoming me as a kingdom-minded woman, just loving me and caring for me, and me loving her and caring for her. And the two of us come to our house and see with our ages over 60 years old. You might not think she's 60. She's 60 this year, June. Very soon, June, she'll be 60. And everybody's invited to her party. 20th June, everybody is invited to a party in London, right? Hey, folks, the world is too much of problems that the church need to take this away, alleviate that, to be kingdom-minded, right? That's what I will submit to you in closing. That's what I want to see done. And so pray, thy kingdom come. Hallelujah. It is also a prayer of petition. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 20, finally, in my concluding words, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Those who are expecting his coming, look for it. Wait for it. Even in the days of the disciples, they asked Jesus, will you restore the kingdom to us? They wanted the kingdom badly. And even now, we need it more. Come, Lord Jesus. And may that kingdom be upon us as we wait for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to be a prophet of doom to say that he's coming tomorrow, because even he himself didn't tell anyone when he will come back. He said it's in the Father's hand. So I'm not going to predict anything. But I'll say the same thing the Bible says. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. And his kingdom will be established forever. This world will give way. And he will rule forever and ever. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless you.